This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. District 2 covers part of the urban core and the San Antonio's east side. It's a vibrant part of San Antonio. It's been the focus of in recent years of a lot of development grants. But who will represent District 2 in the city council? That's going to be decided on the June 10th runoff. Early voting starts a week from today. Last month's May elections, we saw incumbent Alan Ewark take 40% of the vote against three challengers. Lawyer William Cruz Shaw earned a place in the runoff, coming in second with 28%. Now, we made multiple efforts to include Shaw in this program this afternoon. We did everything we could to give him an opportunity to join us, but he declined. That invitation still stands. If he wants to come on the program, we'll make arrangements to have him on live, or we'll record something just to give him an equal shot. But we're going to continue to discuss the runoff elections. And with us today, we've got Councilman Warwick, who has been on the city council here in San Antonio since 2014. He's looking to be sent back on June the 10th. So who will District 2 voters choose to represent them moving forward? Our phone lines are open. If you got a question or a comment for City Councilman Warwick about him returning to city council, the number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. You can email us at thesource@tpr.org. And Councilman Warwick, welcome back to The Source.
Good afternoon, and I'm glad to be here on the show with you again, David.
Right. So you're here. We don't have the challenger Shaw here. What does that say to you? I mean, you're running for campaign. Let's just take the gloves off and start talking about stuff.
Sure. I mean, this is a job interview. If you have no public record, which Mr. Shaw has, you're putting everything out there. You're putting forth your best efforts. And, I mean, he's missed the last 10 neighborhood association meetings. He missed one meeting last night, a Cops Metro meeting last night as well. So this is not anything new, but it's definitely surprising that someone would attempt to be the council person and attempt to represent all the neighborhoods in the district and not show up to hear what their issues are and hear what their concerns are.
Okay, so give me a sort of introduction of yourself. I mean, you've been on city council for a while. People probably know you, but maybe a lot of people don't. If you were, you know, just if we were having a debate and he was right here next to you, how would you open up the, you know, your introduce yourself?
Sure. Again, I'm Alan Warwick. I'm the city councilman for District 2. I have been since December of 2014. I've represented the city focusing on four issues in my community: zero stray dogs, zero murders, 0% unemployment, and zero vacant homes, lots, and businesses. In every one of those categories, we've been able to see marked tangible improvements by third parties that have gathered all this information. So we're not just saying things are better, we're able to show how things are better. And then people on the east side are able to see all the new businesses, all the new housing that's either been redeveloped or being redeveloped, and see less dogs on the road. We still have a lot of work to do in that category. We just picked up 10 dogs last Thursday that were caught on video on Facebook attacking another dog, but we were able to get them the same day and keep them impounded. So that's one of the great things. And then, of course, the unemployment numbers, with a lot of the help from the federal government and our Promise Zone funding and the different grants that we've been able to receive, it's been able to make a marked impact, over a 4% reduction in unemployment in the last 6 years.
But we saw an incredible spike in the murder rate in San Antonio last year. I'm not saying that's a District 2 problem, but the citywide problem. Why did we have that?
Well, again, that was last year. We have a different story to tell this year. So the last numbers that I saw, we had 16 murders year to date, and in 2016. 2017, we have 9 murders in that same time period. I think ShotSpotter plays a key role in it. What we have is a technology in place. We're the only city in Texas to have it, but of course there's about 80 or 90 cities across the country and in territories that use this technology in order to move things forward. And what does it do? It makes sure that police show up every single time that gunshots go off. We know that in our communities on the east and west side, where we have the technology implemented, we have 80% of the time people don't call it in if a gunshot goes off. And then that can be exacerbated with this potential SB4 legislation where we're talking about sanctuary cities and where people don't want to report because they're, even though they're victims of a crime, they're in fear of being deported or being asked to leave our city or asked to be detained. So it's definitely one of those situations where we want our city to be as safe as possible and we want our citizens to live safe lifestyles in every zip code, not just the wealthier zip codes.
So you brought up the dogs, and the city council is looking down the road at reevaluating the animal control ordinances, maybe strengthening, putting teeth into some of the ordinances about like the tethering and making sure that people have more responsibility for their pets. So what are you thinking along those lines?
I think we definitely need more enforcement. We definitely need to make owners more accountable in any way that we can within the laws that currently exist or creating new laws that allow for that accountability. After riding around in the district and seeing a lot of these situations, what we found is that about 80% of these dogs are owned dogs. So they're not just strays. People own them and just allow them to roam freely in the neighborhoods, which is, a public safety issue. But it's also just a not healthy issue for the owners or the pets. So there's definitely work that we have to do to inform these owners that we can potentially take your pets away, especially if they're deemed dangerous, which happened this past Thursday. But we can also take your pets away just because you're not being responsible with them.
And there's talk of maybe a mandatory spay neuter requirement in San Antonio.
Yes, again, we don't have very strong or cold winters. So a lot of East Coast cities, they don't understand that this is a similar problem in Texas because they don't see these things. But because we don't have those winters, the dog population is just growing and growing and growing. So, and we have no idea how many dogs. I've heard estimates up to 60,000 strays in our city. But we don't even have the capabilities to account all the stray dogs.
So the winters things is that where they're having multiple litters in a year.
Multiple litters in a year, and because of shelter or not needing shelter, in the colder cities, the dogs would actually freeze to death or die. Yeah, so in San Antonio, we don't have that situation.
No, we don't. But so we have, dog days of the summer and lots of dogs running around the city. So people are wondering how would we, if we're going to require that people spay or neuter their animals, then there needs to be some sort of support for that.
Definitely. We have to focus on the problem areas. I know that my district is the size of San Francisco, California, as far as the square miles, 49 square miles approximately. But what we have to see is that inside of Loop 410, inside of WW White Road, between there and the Alamo Dome /281, that's where the majority of the issues are with the stray dogs in our community, and we have to focus on those efforts. So I'm probably going to be asking for another animal care specialist. So we have two for our district, but imagine having two dog catchers in the entire city of San Francisco. It doesn't work out. It doesn't make any sense. So what we have is a focus on the problem zone, and because the problem is definitely more distinct there, and then the other dog catcher would be focusing on the problem zone, but also on the other areas as the need arises.
Okay, so do you live or work in District 2? What issues are important to you? What problem areas do you want to see given more attention? How do you feel about Councilman Alan Warrick's performance as District 2 Council Representative so far? Do you think that he's won a trip back to a city council? We're speaking to him this afternoon. We were not able to get Cruz Shaw, his opponent, on the runoff ballot, but we hope to get him on a later program. The invitation is open to you, Mr. Shaw, if you want to join us. And our phone lines are open. If you got a question or comment, 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. When we come back, we'll talk about the River Barge, the Alamo, and jobs. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. District 2 City Councilman Alan Warrick is here on The Source this afternoon. We'll take your calls or emails talking about his job performance. He wants to be sent back to City Council in the June 10th runoff. His opponent, Cruz Shaw, has not been able to join us. The number to call in is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. So, Councilman Warwick, let me ask you about the River Barge contract. This has been getting a lot of attention. This is whoever gets this contract is going to make a lot of money. There's a lot of talk about politics being involved. What are your considerations in trying to figure out who ought to get this contract?
I think we, again, have to look at the process. We have to look at our local preference because those points are there for a reason. We know that small minority women-owned businesses have not gotten a fair share of contract work in previous contracts in San Antonio. So it definitely makes sense to take those points and definitely what the staff said as far as these points don't really count or they're not important. I don't believe that at all because without those points, a lot of these vendors who are potentially advocating for the second place team wouldn't even have the opportunities that they've had in the city of San Antonio. So it's really hard to just look at the process and say the process doesn't work. We need to pick a second or third place team, even though it seems pretty straightforward that they're capable, they're local, they're willing to do the work, and they're respected in the community as well.
How important is it that whoever gets this contract is able to provide an incredible service to the people who visit San Antonio?
It's the utmost important thing. It's a genuine service. So when we talk about the true San Antonio experience, I don't think that we currently get that on the river barges. So we have to really transform in what we define as what we want the rest of the world to talk about and share when they leave San Antonio and go back to their various homes. What did they experience on the river? Is it something that they want to go back to, or is this just a one-time thing? Right now, I think it's just a one-time thing where they see it one time and then they're done. But if we can create an experience that grows and changes every time and where there's new opportunities and new types of things happening on the river, whether it's yoga classes or a jazz brunch or something like that, where it's a unique experience every single time. I think that would definitely add to what we have.
So do you think whoever gets the River Barge contract is able going, they will be providing something new and exciting?
Oh, definitely. I think we're going to see a growth in San Antonians using that barge, not just when cousins or relatives are in town and they're showing them the river, but every time that they want to do something unique and we find a way to create those unique experiences down there. I think the city's got to work with whoever takes this contract in order to make sure that it's a new and fresh experience and that it grows just like the other experiences in our city.
Now, the Alamo the redesign, it was a unanimous vote from City Council in support of the redesign and concept plan. And so can you talk about your vote on that?
Sure. It's not necessarily a redesign. It's a agreement that the master plan is moving in the right direction. The redesigns are going to eventually take place, but it's really those key features that the courtyard should be there and prominent, that the cenotaph should potentially be moved so that we can focus not just on the 1836 battle, but on everything that's happened since 1724 up until 2024 when this is going to be completed. So there's a lot of context that's there that's not currently being told, and we want to find ways to tie in all of the experiences of San Antonio through the Alamo, not just the 1836 battle.
What do you think about the glass walls idea?
I don't think that that's a permanent idea. I think that it was more of a placeholder. The design, we know that construction is probably not going to take place until 2020, so there's going to be tens, if not hundreds, of community conversations, public conversations, and decisions that are made after this. So I think it was just a placeholder. I understand people's resentment to it or any type of wall, but I think they're just trying to come up with a concept that makes sense, that addresses the past and the future, but it also allows to show that there's something different here. There's something special inside of these walls.
And so what do you say to people who say, don't do anything to the Alamo, just leave it exactly the way it is right now?
And then that 7-minute experience doesn't get shared with those folks. We need to create an experience that is honoring the birth and heritage of our city, honoring that 1836 battle, and what's happened since then and brought us to where we are today. And I don't think that experience is there in our current situation. So we have to do something more. I don't think leaving it there's an option. We have a World Heritage Site here. Again, the state of Texas understands the importance of it. That's why they're putting millions and millions of dollars behind this project. And then we'll also receive money from the private sector. So everybody sees the importance in making some kind of change, We're going to decide what that change is as a community, and we're going to move forward as a community, but some change has to happen.
We're speaking with District 2 City Councilman Alan Warrick. He's up for re-election in the June 10th runoff. Early voting is a week from today. We invited his runoff challenger, Cruz Shaw, to join us. He was not able to do so. We have an open invitation for him. Hopefully we're able to bring him onto the show before Election Day. Let's talk about jobs in San Antonio, particularly for your district, the East Side. How do we bring more jobs to the overall community and make sure that the East Side is dealt in?
I think we focus on small businesses. We have large corporations that are moving to our city, but if you look at where they're moving, for the most part, it's in the outskirts of the community. There's so much opportunity in the warehouse space on the Near East Side, even all the way out to the AT&T Center, for smaller businesses to come in and more niche businesses, tech businesses, and creating, you know, various tech pockets and small business incubator pockets in our community, because it's so close to downtown, and there's some of the great benefits of having all the resources around us.
But education, we got to have the education component to make sure we have the workforce ready.
Well, we're doing a great job with St. Philip's College and the Alamo Colleges to get people up to speed. Again, we know that we're in a deficit right now, but folks are getting free opportunities. I was actually at Sam Houston High School this morning, where we know that 25% of those seniors in their senior class don't have any plans after high school. So they don't have any college, military, or community college future in their horizon. So we created a job fair for them this morning, where we have all the different opportunities and training opportunities. And because they're in the Promise Zone, I let those young people know that this is an opportunity that's just afforded to you guys. It's not going to Lanier or Jefferson High School. It's just kids from Sam Houston that are getting these programs.
Let's go to caller on the air. The number is 210-614-8980. If you got a question for Councilman Warrick, Marianne is on the line. Hi, Marianne. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you, sir. It's a pleasure.
Thank you.
My issue, what I have, it's the senior citizens getting to the bus because of the neighbors. There's too many vehicles. They block the sidewalks, and a lot of us are in wheelchairs. As I use a cane, and we have to walk in the street. It's a lot of vehicles, too many vehicles. We need more. It's not the buses. They're excellent. Via's excellent. They're always there, and they're cooperative with the lift and everything, but it's the neighborhood with the vehicles blocking the driveway and a lot of cars, so we have to walk in the street. And I've brought this up a couple of times, and
yes,
I know Alan Warrick very much, and I appreciate him, and thank you very much for what you're doing for the community in Tyndale Crest, sir.
All right, and Marianne, thank you for the question. So Councilman Warrick, is that something that, you know, a phone call to code compliance or something could fix?
Oh, yes, it can. But the issue is that's just a time-taking solution. I think we have to go talk to these folks. And I believe I've talked to you personally, Marianne, at your front doorstep about a week or so ago. But we have this issue. It's been brought up a number of times on the campaign trail while I'm in communities. And senior citizens having to step out into the street because either large trucks in the driveway or trucks, so especially if they have on wheelchairs or anything like that. So we have sidewalks in these neighborhoods, but there are some neighborhoods where we don't have any sidewalks at all, mm-hmm. where they're riding and kids are walking the street. So we're working on all these areas. We have over $4.8 million in pedestrian mobility for District 2 that's set aside in the bond that's going to these types of projects. But again, for this situation, the fix is having them either park in the street or park somewhere else, because they didn't need to understand that it's not just that they need to park in their driveway. They're blocking senior citizens and they're making it inconvenient for folks in the neighborhood. So it's really just a conversation that we could have.
This came up yesterday in the debate that we had with the candidates for District 8, what to do about the Civil War monuments we have in San Antonio, whether or not we should have a community conversation and do something maybe like in New Orleans, like where they took theirs down, or maybe we could add to the monuments to bring more context. What are your thoughts?
Again, there's a couple of different points of view. The prominence of the monuments is what I have issue with, not that they exist. Potentially, there's room for them in some of the museums that we have. I think we could definitely add. I've seen some interesting designs that upgrade the monuments and also add.
Tell more of the story.
Yeah, tell more of the story. It's really about context. We know that the Civil War is one section, you know, 1860 to 1865, but what was happening before that that led up to that, what's happened since, how have we grown as a better, stronger, more cohesive city, more inclusive city since then, and how do we tell that story? So I think that's what we need to talk about, the San Antonio moving forward, not the San Antonio of the past.
All right, Loretta is on the line. Loretta, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. My name is Loretta, and I live in District 1. And back to the dog issue we were talking about, Fenton Warwick. I was recently mauled and attacked, and my dog as well, but she wasn't injured. I was by owned loose dogs in my neighborhood in Council in District 1. We live right near the Alamo Dome, so we're right near you. We border your district. Is there a way that you might propose to work with whoever becomes the next council person in District 1 to help with this dog issue?
Definitely.
Again, right, thank you, Loretta.
Thank you, Loretta, for your phone call. And I just had this same issue yesterday brought up to me by a woman in my district in Lakeside, where her dog and her were attacked and the police had to come out. And it's definitely a sad situation, but it's also something that can be prevented. The District 1 council member needs to put a high priority on this, whoever's in place, because we know that dogs don't know the district borders. So they're going up underneath the freeway and back and forth. They're going wherever their food is or wherever their houses are. And they know, I'm a District 2 dog. I'm just going to stay over here. That's not what happens. So Districts 4, 3, 2, and 5 all have their own dog catcher that's only in that district. District okay. 1 does not, and that's one step to move forward in order to get more dogs off the road.
Okay, let me get a caller here. Valerie. Valerie, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for having me. I am a small business owner on the east side. I'm actually in Dignity Hill, and I just would like to say that I would like to see a lot more promotion of small businesses. We talk about wanting more small businesses to come over here, revitalize the area. I'd like to see some promotion. We've been covered by the news, by the current, but I really don't see a lot of, like, the east side getting behind us. The neighborhood is great, but, like, business leaders, that sort of thing, we'd like to see more of that. I'd also like to say the stray dog situation. In Dignity Hill, there's a really great neighborhood association, and they've put together an awesome, amazing group that gets together on Facebook, emailing, on Nextdoor. And we actually, like, save dogs. We go and find them. We message each other. Who does this belong to? We raise money with block parties and selling Fiesta okay. medals to spay and neuter these animals. So
great idea. Let me give a councilman a chance to answer that. Valerie, thank you for your call.
Sure. Business promotion. We have our tour to District 2 where we highlighted four new businesses that have come up in the east side since I've been council member. I'd love to keep you on the tour. The tour is going to keep on going after the election, after we move forward. And then I've worked with Ms. Havel in that Dignity group, and I've also donated things for them to raffle off and auction off so that they could get some more funds to save the dogs, because I do feel like it's a great thing that they're doing.
So discover the east side, discover these businesses.
Yes, yeah, it's a tour de two, like the tour.
So that's part of being the councilman, is to be the ambassador for.
Well, yeah,
and the east side is huge. It's not just, you know, Dignity Hill, but it also goes up to Mankey Park and all over.
Oh, yeah, it goes out past Windcrest, out past Kirby. It's a really large area, all the way to I-10 and 1604 currently. So, I mean, there's so much area to cover, but I'd love to highlight your business and any other businesses. My cell phone, 210-602-6277. It's not hard to get in touch with me. You can look me up on Facebook as well. But let's go to your business, let's highlight it, and let's move things forward, because we have so many negative things that are put out there about the east side. We have to do as much to get those positive messages on every platform available. So please don't hesitate to reach out to me, and we'll get it done.
District 2 City Councilman Alan Warwick is running for re-election. Election day is June the 10th. Early voting starts a week from today. His opponent, Cruz Shaw, was invited to participate in this program. However, he declined to join us. We have an open invitation to him. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be back after this break.